So, for the first half, up until about 5, we can continue with the review. So I think as I was trying to, one point I was trying to make earlier is that it's today at least, and it's not so much like some kind of summary of what Rinpoche covered, but trying to work with what looked like would be most, maybe the more difficult things that would be more, because some of the things that are much more straightforward, and so everybody sort of like was there and has got their notes and so on. So we don't need that so much, I guess. So one of the things that came up, Rinpoche was talking about the meaning of shunyata as opposed to shunya. So shunya, domba, empty. So shunya, the Sanskrit word, then domba is the empty Tibetan word. And then in English, we usually say empty. Shunyata, domba, ni, emptiness, we usually say. I don't really know why, whose idea it was to translate domba ni as emptiness, but anyway, that's the term that we use. So, Rinpoche told us that he found out through a teaching from Kinsu Ligden, the previous one of the previous abbots of Sergei Monastery, who's passed away in the last couple of years. What the significance of the ni, the ness, if we assume that the ness is a translation of that syllable ni, what that means, what it again, like with ni, like how are we going to say anyway? This Tibetan syllable ni is just like with when we say mere I. You ask the question. Well, if we say mere I, what does mere exclude? This is a question that's always dealt with in the teachings on emptiness. What does the mere, when the Prasangikas are talking about mere this and mere that, what does the mere exclude? So, just like that, this syllable ni, which I'll just give you a little bit of a background. Sometimes when we see this word ni in Tibetan, it sort of means only. So it's almost as if, empty, domba ni is like empty only or just empty. We usually say emptiness, but, it could equally be translated in that way. So when you say just empty or only empty, you get a bit more of a sense that question could come up, don't you? When you say only, what are you excluding? What's being ruled out? So Kenzo Legden, according to Kenzo Legden's teaching, in this case, it excludes ordinary emptiness. Okay, so the ordinary emptiness, we had the example of a purse being empty of money. So it's quite valid. If you've got a purse with no money in it, then it's quite valid to describe it as empty of money. And Did Rinpoche mention anything about other emptiness last night? Did you hear that term? He did, didn't he? Oh, that's good. So I have an excuse for talking about it then. So it's actually quite, if we want to understand what Rinpoche was talking about there when he was, analyzing this term and trying to find, trying to reveal to us the difference between shunya and shunyata, empty and emptiness, it's useful to understand the distinction between two ideas, which we do quite often hear about, you know, like in His Holiness's teachings and so on, self-emptiness and other emptiness. Rangdong, self-emptiness. Shendong, other emptiness. Self-emptiness, other emptiness. And in fact, what are they called, these people? The Jonangpas. People have heard of the Jonangpas. It's one of the Buddhist traditions in Tibet. Usually we talk about the four traditions, you know, you've got the Nyingma, Gagyu, Sakya, Nyingma, Giluk. There's also the Jonangpas, and lamas from the Jonangpa tradition have been very famous and are still famous for their Kalachakra commentaries. And one of their, one thing I guess that sort of sets them apart is that they adhere to, they consider themselves to be, you know, Madhyamika, followers of Nagarjuna, but the emptiness they talk about is other emptiness. Whereas as far as Jeremshe is concerned, when we talk about emptiness, it's self-emptiness. So now, self-emptiness, why it's called self-emptiness is like this. They usually explain it like this, and Rinpoche sort of touched upon this last night. If we talk about the table, okay, if we talk about self-emptiness with respect to the table being the table empty of being a table isn't what's implied. The table empty of being inherently existent, or the table empty of an inherently existing table, is the emptiness of the table. And that's a self-emptiness. As opposed to other emptiness, and now I don't have, I think I've heard some explanation about this, and I don't know if I can remember all of it, but other emptiness would be like the table being empty of everything else other than the table. That would be the emptiness of the table. Those people who we describe as being Shentong, the proponents of or adherents to Shentong, other emptiness, you know, this is what that's what we say there, sir. They might say, oh, no, that's not what we mean. But anyway, when you talk about the Shendong position, the other emptiness position, the one which is being refuted is the idea that the emptiness of the table would be the table's emptiness of being anything else other than the table. So that it's emptiness of being the thermos, the flower, anything else, right? That would be the emptiness of the table. So yes. So the purse empty of money, I mean, it's not really got anything to do with Shentong or Rangtong as such. You know, it's not like of the two it's other emptiness, or of the two it's self-emptiness. It's not so much that, but the purse being empty of money is just simply, you know, the purse is an object, you know, the purse. If it was anything, I guess it would be an other emptiness. And so it's not the emptiness that Jeremy Shea is talking about. The main reason that the other emptiness is refuted is because, you know, I can remember the explanation of Gen Techok. Although it's true that the table is empty of being anything else other than the table, it's true that the table is empty of being a tablecloth, it's empty of being a human being, it's empty of being the sky, it's empty of being, it's true, but so what? You know, that doesn't help solve your samsara, that doesn't help solve your eye grasping and ignorance and so on. Okay,
so,
Would you like to repeat that? It's not coming through. Okay.
So I just wanted to know what the quality of the emptiness was of the other of the table in the other emptiness that you're talking
well,
about.
Well, they say the emptiness of the table is its emptiness of being anything other than the table.
So it would be.
So it, the point is, you see, it doesn't touch its inherent existence.
That's
the
know.
Point.
Yeah.
So, the Galupa masters will say, emptiness, the emptiness that we have to realize. In order to escape from psychic existence and remove the obscurations and so on, is self-emptiness, is not other emptiness. So it's like refuting other emptiness on that level. Part and parcel of the explanation is, even though it's true that the table is empty of being anything other than the table, that doesn't help you to... eliminate this the ignorance which is grasping the true existence of the table. It doesn't help you to become free of psychic existence. And there's some kind of... So if other emptiness means that, then the explanation that it is not really relevant is quite accurate, quite correct, because, you know, just knowing the table is not anything else other than table. You know, what does it have to do with grasping at the object as existing from its own side, not being merely labeled and so on? As far as the Galupas are concerned, following Jeremshi's teachings, and Jeremshi was of course commentating on Chandrakirti and Nagarjuna, and ultimately the Buddha's own intention. Emptiness, when we talk about empty this and empty that, the emptiness is self-emptiness. And self-emptiness doesn't mean empty of being itself, it means empty of an inherent existing self. It's the table, it's not the table's emptiness of being a table, it's the table's emptiness of being an inherent existing table. In other words, the table's emptiness of an inherent existing table. In other words, if you look for the inherently existing table within the basis of imputation of the table, the thing that we, that collection of things that we impute table onto, you won't find it there. Ordinary emptinesses are excluded by the ness or the ni or the shunyata. That part. Okay. So now, shunyata, it excludes ordinary emptinesses, which means the way that we usually use the word empty, it kind of doesn't really mean that. You know, when else do you use the word empty? You know, if there's nobody in the room, you say the room's empty. If you say that there's no water in the glass, you say the glass is empty, that kind of thing. It's not that kind of emptiness. Okay. So then, interesting here then is, okay, so if emptiness as opposed to empty means that you're sort of adding on the meaning of not an ordinary emptiness, but the emptiness according to the the self-emptiness, right? Well, what about this then? Okay, so in the sort of package of teachings that are aimed at explaining to us the meaning of emptiness, one of the things that usually is dealt with, one of the things you usually come across is the distinction between empty and emptiness. Okay, and the explanation that goes with this is that everything which exists is empty, but not everything which exists is emptiness. So now, if you say that emptiness, okay, so the ness there, the ness there is excluding ordinary emptinesses, so that when you doesn't that mean, okay, doesn't that mean if you're going to say emptiness, the ness there is excluding ordinary emptinesses like the table being the purse being empty of money and so on. Doesn't that word emptiness simply mean then that when we say that that the table is empty, it doesn't mean empty in some kind of ordinary sense, like the purse being empty of money, but empty in the sense of being empty of inherent existence? Maybe this is not a very important question, but I find it quite interesting, because it seems to me then you could say that the table is emptiness. Couldn't you say that the table is emptiness if the ness in emptiness simply means not empty in an ordinary way, but empty in this very extraordinary way, in the sense of self-empty, so that when you're saying the table is empty, what you mean is it's self-empty, which means it's empty of inherent existence. Do you get the point that I'm trying to make? Yeah.
Steve, I'm just wondering, just given what you've just said, why is it that a number of new translations of the Heart Sutra have changed form is emptiness, and that's been retranslated to form is empty?
Okay, in the Heart Sutra.
Yes.
Well, in the Heart Sutra it says Zuk Tong Pao, which is form is empty. So there's four statements, right? Zuk Tong Pao, Tong Pa Ni Zu Zu. So form is empty, emptiness is form, there is no emptiness other than form, and there's no form other than emptiness. Those two might have been the wrong way around, but anyway. So right from the very beginning, I don't think that's changed. The translation of the first one, form is empty, that hasn't been changed, right? I don't think they've. I can't remember it ever being translated as form is emptiness. It was. Well, there's no reason to translate it as emptiness, because it says zuk tong pa. It doesn't say tong pa ni. It says tong pa, which is empty. Form is empty. The one that's tricky is the second one, because it says tong pa ni zuk so. Emptiness is form. So the reason they've changed from form is emptiness to form is empty is because they've corrected it, I would say. Really. Because that would be a mistake to say form. For Zuk Tong Pao to say form is emptiness, it would be just a mistake. Yeah. Form is emptiness. But actually, I think that's probably the reason, yeah. There's a couple of people over here. Actually, Venerable Namsal has had his hand up for a while.
I was going to say, does it seem like the more of a subject-object issue? Because empty would be the way phenomena exist is empty, but emptiness might be the mind apprehending the empty, you know, or the apprehension of the emptiness.
In other words, when it says form is empty, emptiness is form, the emptiness is talking about the mind realizing.
Well, I was thinking this before that question came up, but it does relate to that too. So more like the table's emptiness, but then maybe I don't have it quite square in my head, but I mean, the difference between, like what you're saying, something being empty and its emptiness. Is it like a quality emptiness?
Well, you see, that's an idea going? That you get because of using the word ness there, you see. So it's actually a question that comes up just because of the translation term. Because it's true, isn't it? Like we say, ugly, a person is ugly. right? That's an adjective. Then the sort of quality of being ugly, we would call it the ugliness, right? So beautiful, beauty, empty, emptiness. And I know that sometimes when I've been talking with people about emptiness, I've gone in that direction, you know, it's sort of like the quality of being empty. And it's a little bit, it's not really, it's kind of beside the point. It's kind of missing the point in a way. Because we've chosen for some reason to translate domba ni as emptiness, whereas actually when you look in some texts, you can see that the word ni, whatever it, however you're going to translate it, is the same as kona, which is only. Okay. So, but nobody's going to say, you know, shunyata, nobody, you never hear anybody saying, you know, empty only, just empty, or empty itself kind of thing. So, yeah, really, I don't...
It's an English problem.
I don't... Yeah. I mean, this is something that we could discuss, but I don't know really if when we say emptiness, it's really talking about the quality of being empty. I don't know if it's really talking about that.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more like apprehending something's emptiness. Because you can't say apprehending it's empty.
Yes, you can.
You can, okay.
Yes. In fact, if you think back to what Rinpoche was saying last night, he was, you know, during one of those periods when I was actually awake and listening, Rinpoche, he was saying how we usually say, you know, in this particular context, in such and such context, we often say emptiness, but actually it says empty. So let me think... yeah. Anyway, I tell you one thing. There are many instances where the Tibetan Lama, you know, talking, or Geshe talking in Tibetan, is saying "dongpa," empty, right? And it gets translated as "domba ni," emptiness. It's very often the case. And I can definitely attest to that because I've done it many times myself. Why? Just because it's sort of... It sort of feels awkward to say, what are we trying to do? We're trying to meditate on empty. It's awkward, isn't it? But actually, that's what they're saying. And Rinpoche was making the point that, you know, it's maybe a little bit awkward, but still my understanding anyway, if you want to be more precise, then you would be saying meditating on empty. For the moment, I just, you know, my brain is a bit stuck. I can't think of some other cases where the word empty is used, and it usually gets translated as emptiness. But zuki dingi tomba, tomba. Yeah. But anyway, that is often the case.
And then there's another quick thing. I remember reading His Holiness.
Once a person's got this microphone.
No, this is really quick. It's not. His Holiness saying something before. I don't remember where it was, but it was something talking about the difference between there is a black, he called it black shentong and white shentong, meaning there is one with the wrong view and one where they actually hit the right view.
Can you remember what he said?
No, that's okay. So, maybe it's not that useful to say it, but I thought maybe you'd know. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read it. I don't know which book. It might have been the Mahamudra.
Or it might have been another one. Yeah. Yeah, I know I've heard black bun and white bun, and there might be a similar thing with the shentong. Yeah, because I mean, definitely, there is one Western scholar who was telling me once that this is somebody who's generally Gelupa was telling me once when the Gelupas are saying that the proponents of Shentong are the empty. Yeah, there you are, you see. Shentong is other empty. It's not other emptiness, really. Rangdong, Shentong, other empty, self-empty. So that's a case in point where we often say self, other emptiness and self-emptiness, right? The word that's actually being used is empty. He was saying the refutation is a little bit unfair because that's not really what they're saying. So maybe it comes down to the same point. There are some that really do think that emptiness is other emptiness, which means in the case of the table, it's the table's emptiness of being anything else other than the table. Yeah. 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 So that might have been what he was talking about, but anyway, I'm not sure. Okay. So, Rinpoche did... Oh, sorry, yes. I forgot.
Well, you sort of answered, but you didn't.
That's not unusual.
Tongpa is empty.
Yeah.
Tongpa Nyi is emptiness.
Yes.
So, wouldn't there be something extra for emptiness only? Or are you saying the Nyi covers both?
What I'm saying is, where we translate Tongpa Nyi as emptiness, this word Nyi in other contexts is often sort of like equated with only.
But Rinpoche is saying Tongpa Nyi means only, emptiness only.
Well, if...
And Rinpoche kept saying Nyi.
Did he say... sorry, can you say that again?
Rinpoche is, I think, saying the Nyi means empty, only.
Only. He did say that.
Saying that, yeah.
Okay, good, yeah.
I've done whole retreats with Rinpoche where the entire sadhana, we had to change it all. Whenever it's Tongpa Nyi, it has to be everything becomes emptiness only or just empty or...
Not emptiness only, though, please.
Well, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So then you got both of them, emptiness only.
Yeah,
so that was
or
my question.
Or just empty.
I think that he'd be more likely to say, I hope you would say, Tongpa Nyi is empty only, not emptiness only, because then it sort of gets a bit... Then it's really quite challenging. Yes. So in other words, it looks like we could translate Tongpa Nyi Shunyata as empty only. It's a little bit difficult to see it catching on, but you know, if enough people make up their mind that they're going to do it. But personally, you know, I'm going to have a go at being more faithful to the Tibetan. When I'm translating, you know, so that when they say empty, I'm going to say empty. Sorry, when they say tongpa, I'm going to say empty and not emptiness and see how it works. I think that might be useful because, as I say, it's often just convenience because it seems easier to say meditating on emptiness. I mean, usually you think of yourself as meditating on emptiness, don't you? You don't think, you know, you've been listening to teachings on emptiness. You wouldn't, in ordinary conversation, you wouldn't say, oh, yes, I've just been listening to some teachings on empty, you know.
When you say empty, then it's a name, it's not an adjective.
I think it's a bit like that, yes, that empty is an adjective and emptiness...
An adjective?
Yeah, so it's not.
So empty usually is an adjective.
Yeah.
But when you say empty instead of emptiness, you mean a name then?
Well, I would have thought that.
Not adjective.
That it's an adjective, yeah. But on the other hand, if you talk about meditating on empty, meditating on the empty on the table,
so this is not an
then adjective. It sounds like it's become a noun, doesn't it?
A noun.
Right. So, anyway, yeah. What it sounds like, you know, what it sounded a bit like Rinpoche was saying, you know, the conclusion that Tongpa Nyi, emptiness, means simply means, you know, not ordinarily, not empty in an ordinary sense, but empty in an extraordinary sense. From just thinking about that, it sounds like you could say that the table is empty, yes, but what kind of empty? Emptiness, empty in an extraordinary sense of being empty of inherent existence. But that wouldn't work, actually. That won't work because it's very clear that although everything which exists is empty, not everything which exists is emptiness. Even though everything is empty in that extraordinary sense of being empty of inherent existence. Not everything is emptiness. Not everything is dompani. Not everything is shunyata. Emptiness is the the mere absence of inherent existence, and it's a negation. Not everything which exists is a negation. You know, there are two types of object of the mind. You know, two types of object that the mind can engage in. One is usually referred to as a positive phenomenon or an affirmation, and the other one is called a negative phenomenon or a negation. So, this sort of dichotomy is a reflection of the way that the mind is engaging in the object. It's not so much the object itself. The way that we can understand a positive phenomenon is the way that the mind engages in the object. So, when your mind is engaging in or realizing some kind of positive phenomenon, like a table, then the table is being realized without particularly negating anything. With a negative phenomena, then there's always some kind of aspect of negation in the way that the mind realizes it. So, like, for example, having a table in this room is a positive phenomenon. You're not negating anything. There is a table in the room. When you say that there's no elephant in the room, then that's a negation. And you can see, you know, if somebody says there's no table in the room, when your mind is sort of like engaging in the meaning of what they've said, something is negated, isn't it? Right? It's almost, I mean, probably the way you describe it is you think of an elephant and you think about the room and you sort of like negate the idea of the elephant in the room. So some negation is going on, isn't there? So it's the absence of an elephant in the room is a negative phenomenon. And then within the two types of negative phenomenon, you've got ones where something is negated but something is also implied in its place. And the other kind of negative phenomenon is where something is negated and nothing is particularly implied in its place. So what's the one that they usually... something about the fat Devadatta. Can anybody remember this one? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I really want to use that one because it's kind of... not very clear to me. But anyway, okay, yeah. So, okay, can anybody think of something where, you know, you're negating something but implying something in its place? Yeah. Well, both of them, wait a minute. No tree in the forest, come on.
Okay.
That's not going to work. There's not going to be a forest if there's no trees there.
We can be imaginative. We can be creative.
You can imagine it, yeah. A forest with no trees.
Well, because if you're just saying there's
the sound of a hand clapping, I don't know.
You know, there's no tree. It's a non-affirming negation.
Yeah.
You're just negating a tree, not affirming anything.
Sometimes it's the way that you say it. If I were to say, well, there were no men in the room. Okay, so I'm negating the presence of men, but you know very well when I say there were no men in the room that I'm implying that there were some women there. You know that kind of thing? So you're negating something, and at the same time, by the way, you're implying something. So that would be an affirming negation. When you're just saying there was nobody there, you're negating something, but you're not implying anything in its place, are you? So that's maybe you can think of some better examples for yourself. So the thing is, there are those two different types of way of negating things. Sometimes you negate something and you don't imply anything in its place. And sometimes you negate something and you do imply something in its place. In the case of emptiness, you're negating inherent existence, but you're not implying anything in its place. So what that means is that when your mind realizes emptiness, then the inherent existence is negated, but nothing else is kind of like appearing in its place. There's just this appearance of emptiness to that mind. Is this helping? No, I don't think it is really, is it?
Well, then, you then explain an affirming negation.
Sorry?
Explain an affirming negation. Yeah, that's a similar example.
Like I say, when you say, there were no men there. You know, was anybody in the room? Well, there were no men there. It kind of implies that there was some other kind of people in there. Well, because it could have been kids, couldn't it? There were no men there. But if you would just say there was nobody in there, you're negating the presence of people, but you're not implying the presence of anything else, like tables and chairs or so on, or even elephants. Right? So that's just to give you an idea of, you've got positive phenomena, negative phenomena. With the negative phenomena, you've got the ones which are called non-affirming negations or simple negations, and then affirming negations. So emptiness is a non-affirming negation, and so it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that not everything which exists is a non-affirming negation. If everything, even though everything is empty, if everything were emptiness, empty only, then that would mean that everything which exists is a negation, and particularly a non-affirming negation. So I must say, so Rinpoche didn't particularly mention about affirming negations, but in fact, I don't know if he even mentioned last night about, everything is empty, but not everything is emptiness. Or did that come up while I was asleep? Did he mention it last night? Anyway, there must be some reason why Rinpoche was talking about shunya, shunyata, domba, dombani. So this is the kind of thing that we need to understand in, when he's talking about that kind of thing. Okay. Emptiness. When you say form is empty, it does mean it's empty of inherent existence, yes. So the fact that we have this word emptiness, which sort of stresses the fact that when we say empty, it means empty of inherent existence, not just like the purse being empty of money, doesn't mean to say that when we say everything is empty, that it's ambiguous. It's very clear in the teachings when it says form is empty, it means empty of inherent existence.
So it means emptiness.
It's referring to its emptiness, you could say, yes. When you say form is empty, you are talking about the emptiness of form, yeah.
So I don't understand now why there's this distinction, right? Because empty, you give the example, the glass is empty of water, right? But then we also use the same word to say empty of inherent existence.
Yes.
So why then, just to make clear that sometimes it's just empty of inherent existence that is meant, that's why you put emptiness?
Well, that's how you could almost think that that's what the purpose of this term emptiness was from the explanation last night where Rinpoche was saying he, researched this and found out from Kenzo Legden that the ness rules out ordinary kinds of meaning of the ordinary meanings of the word empty. Yeah.
But in other contexts, we use just empty. It's also valid to use just empty.
Are you talking about? Oh, I see. We use just empty, or in other words, we use the word empty without saying emptiness.
Yes,
it's totally valid.
Yeah.
It's totally valid. Yes. Yes, it's. It's a little bit puzzling, I must say. I. because you don't normally get this kind of, I've never heard this kind of explanation that I can think of. Normally, you know, when they say empty versus emptiness, they say empty just means empty of inherent existence, so everything is empty of inherent existence because everything is a dependent arising. Emptiness is a non-affirming negation. And so not everything is emptiness. Now here, Rinpoche has introduced this idea that when we say emptiness, the ni or the only or whatever it's, you know, we would be better to translate it as, that ness rules out ordinary kinds of emptiness. Yeah, I mean, I'm at the moment I find this a bit puzzling for that very reason, that if the ness in emptiness simply means that you're talking about empty not in any ordinary sense, but empty in this special sense of empty of inherent existence, it seems like therefore you could say everything which exists is emptiness, because everything is empty in this special sense. Do you get what I'm confused about? What I find puzzling. Whereas usually, all of that, and I'm sure Rinpoche would say the same thing, usually the Tibetan Geshe's, the Tibetan Lamas, when they're talking about emptiness, they'll tell you everything which exists is empty, but not everything which exists is emptiness. Sorry?
If something's empty, you've negated the inherent existence.
Yes.
Which is emptiness. So everything is emptiness.
Oh, so, can you say that again?
So if you have an object, right, which is empty, therefore you've it lacks inherent existence. So that to have got to that stage, you've got the emptiness.
Actually, so that, that's...
So everything is emptiness as well.
So that's... anyway... I think you can say that when you realize that a thing is empty, you have realized its emptiness. But that doesn't mean to say that empty and emptiness are the same thing. Maybe it's a bit like saying when you've... No, I don't know if maybe it doesn't work. You know, you've realized something is impermanent, you've also realized its impermanence. Are impermanent and impermanence the same thing? I don't know.
The distinction between when we're saying emptiness is a non-affirming negation, so that it's a lack there, it's something that is absent, right? Whereas form is a positive phenomena.
Yeah.
So saying form is empty, to me it really implies is empty of that quality, right? Which is fine. It works well in English. Yeah. Next, when you get the explanation, well, emptiness is form, then they go into a whole lot of detail saying, well, actually, that's really saying, if you take it literally, that something that's a non-affirming negation is a positive phenomenon.
And in fact, permanent.
Yeah.
Because emptiness is also permanent.
Yeah, but it's really saying, I mean, emptiness is a non-affirming negation, so yeah. What? Then you're saying something that's a negation is actually form, which is a positive phenomena. So there's a whole lot of explanation.
That, I don't know if that would really be the reason, because look, think about it. Form is a positive phenomenon, right? What about empty? Is empty a positive phenomenon or a negative phenomenon?
Well, if you use it as an object...
Empty a negative phenomenon or a positive phenomenon?
Well, the way that comes out in English is empty of something, so it's
empty is a negation, isn't it? When you say empty, it always implies something's being negated. And yet form is empty, because it is empty of inherent existence. So that's not so much the problem. The main thing is that if you were to say emptiness is form, then if you take it literally, it means that something which is permanent is impermanent, and that wouldn't work. Anyway, so Rinpoche's explanation last night, form is empty, emptiness is form. So form is empty meant form while being merely labeled is nevertheless empty. Then emptiness is form. Form while being empty of inherent existence. Existence as something which is not merely labeled does exist conventionally as something which is merely labeled. Okay, so form is empty means form while being merely labeled is empty of inherent existence. Emptiness is form. Form while being empty of inherent existence is nevertheless a merely labeled form. So, it can be at the same as the general idea being, at the same time that it functions, it's empty. At the same time as it's empty, it functions. So the two, in other words, when you're saying form is empty, emptiness is form, taking, form as the object of the discussion, it can function and at the same time be empty. It can be empty at the same time that it can function. The two are not contradictory. The two work together very well. And in fact, if you go into it, then you find out that it's not just that being empty doesn't harm the fact that the thing conventionally exists. It's what makes the conventional existence possible. Because, of course, if a thing were not empty, it would mean it would be inherently existent, which means, independent of anything, therefore, impossible to produce, impossible to make, everything would get stuck kind of thing. It's because of the thing, the fact that things are empty, empty of inherent existence, empty of independent existence, that things can happen. Emptiness is what makes things happen. And then the form, so zutompa, tompani, zule, tompani, shemain. So other than form, there's no emptiness. Other than emptiness, there's no form. So Rinpoche was saying these two together are sort of revealing that form is the, umilam, the middle way. So what did they say? There's some expression that where they say empty, dependent, arising, and the middle way are sort of synonyms, which means that anything which is empty is also dependent arising, is also the middle way, umelam. The middle way meaning, it's there in the middle, free of the two extremes. So everything which exists is not only empty, it's a dependent arising. It's not only, not just everything is dependent arising, everything is also the middle way, free of the two extremes. The two extremes of being the extremes, the eternist or permanent extreme. In other words, everything is free of being inherent existent and free of the nihilist extreme, which is the one that, where you think you might think that if things are not inherent existent, then how could they exist at all? So although they're empty of inherent existence, they're not totally non-existent. So being totally non-existent would be the nihilist extreme. So they're right there in the middle. They're inherently they're empty of inherent existence. They're dependent arising, they exist depending upon this and that, so they're not totally non-existent, which is one extreme, and they're also not inherently existent, which is the other extreme. So there's no emptiness other than form, there's no form other than emptiness, shows the middle way. Okay, so how does it do that? Because this is something that we are always having to, we always recite in the centers. Somehow during these teachings, we haven't been reciting this sutra, but, it's something that you come across again and again, and it's something really very profound for if you meditate on it. So when it says form is empty, emptiness is form, there's no emptiness other than the form, and there's no form other than emptiness. Can you think of how it is that there's no emptiness other than form, and there's no form other than emptiness shows that the form, etc., is like in the middle, is the middle way, free of the extremes? And I don't have much more I could say about that. Rinpoche said that the way, you know, that form is, there's no emptiness other than form, there's no form other than emptiness reveals the middle way, and we could probably discuss that and come up with some kind of understanding of that, but maybe we'll leave that for now.